We don't get fluent, fast, and easy if we're kind of not enjoying ourselves. So what we need is motivation. But how does this work? How do we make sure that we are always feeling motivated enough to keep showing up and doing the work that's gonna get us fluent, faster, and easier? Well, it's not the same for everyone. That's what we're gonna talk about today. First up then, if you want more of this, more language learning advice on a much more regular basis than this, then be sure to join the Language Sparks email club, because this is where I share everything going even deeper than what we're going to talk about today. You can sign up here above my head or at the link in the description below. All right, let's get into it. How does motivation work then? We might feel that, yeah, we're pretty motivated to learn a language. We want to do the thing, we're excited, but what we're not excited about is the task that is right in front of us. That next thing to do that will get us closer to fluency, but kind of feels a bit meh. Motivation ebbs and flows. This is not something that remains constant the whole time. And this is why you may feel like really motivated and inspired to learn a language, but that individual task is just not appealing right now. And really there's two phases of language learning that we all go through. And it's this ebb and flow of motivation. So we need to get comfortable with both of these phases, and they are speedy gains and steady growth. Knowing how to thrive in both of these phases and how to transition comfortably between the two is really, really key in terms of long-lasting language motivation. So what are these two phases in a more detailed description then? Well, speedy gains is the phase that we often find ourselves in at the start of something, either the start of a new language, the start of a new month, the start of a new resource. And really, this is kind of more when everything is fast, it's speedy, and the gains are like, woo, right? This is the like very almost vertical point if we were gonna graph and chart your language motivation. Because we're excited, and that excitement fuels our motivation to dive in head first, to do more, to really make quite quick progress, hence why this is called speedy gains. But then what happens is life gets in the way, or we get stuck on an activity in the course book, or we feel bored and we fall out of love with language learning. And that is when we begin to enter a phase of steady growth. And the option here is to either give up or go for steady growth. Most people give up because the idea of steady growth is very unappealing when you've been in a phase of speedy gains, when that motivation has been high. The idea of doing less and doing it slower doesn't feel very attractive. So what we need to do is figure out how to find joy in that phase of steady growth so that your motivation can really keep a little bit more stable despite the ebbs and flows. So with steady growth then, this is when you're doing a sustainable amount. It is manageable and enjoyable, and there's generally a longer period of time that this might be going on for, and that progress isn't as obvious. You're probably still making progress, but as the name suggests, it's much more steady. On our graph of language learning motivation, this is more close to horizontal than the vertical of the speedy gains. Like I say, for many, this might sound really disappointing, especially if what we think we want all the time is strong motivation, which means speedy gains, go, 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 constantly. But that isn't always possible. And it's either steady growth or it's give up, like we said, right? So if you give up completely, it's much harder to get yourself back into it completely. Whereas if you've got steady growth, if there's something just ticking over at a steadier pace, it's easier to fall back in and find yourself in a phase of speedy gains when the time is right. Of course, there is a lot more that we could dig into on the topic of motivation and mindset, and we do this inside Language Life, but we're not gonna do that today. Like I said, there's a lot, and we wanna focus on one key question today, which is this. Are you motivated by reward or threat? Some of us are motivated by reward. So this means that if you have a task coming up that you're kind of meh about, that feels less appealing to do, then having a reward in place, kind of lined up, is a really great way to increase your motivation to do that meh task, right? And I'm not saying eat a chocolate bar after every single grammar exercise. Of course not, right? That's not very practical, and you will soon get very sick of the sight of chocolate. But if you know that you're motivated by rewards, then you can weave this in to your language learning process so that you're more motivated to keep going. You're keeping things a little more stable rather than just boop, giving up, right? So let's take an example here. Let's say that one of your least favorite things to do, for argument's sake, is grammar exercises, but you know that you have to do them because that's the stage that you're at where you don't want things to fossilize, you want things to be kind of getting more accurate, right? So how do you make those grammar exercises more appealing? Well, perhaps you say to yourself, okay, I'm only going to allow myself to go on a session with the language learning app, or even like social media, whatever it is that is typically a distraction, I'm only going to do that reward after I've completed the grammar exercise. So this then makes the grammar exercise more appealing to do because there's something that you enjoy at the end of it. Rewards really work as a motivator for language learning because they give us this positive association, and that is what we want with all stages of the language learning process. If you think anything is kind of negative or you're not looking forward to it, it's not going to be something that you do long term. It's going to be something that you avoid. And so we want to turn that around, and we want to make sure that you are looking forward to it. And rewards work really well for giving you that positive association, but only for some of us. On the other hand, some of us don't get that motivated by rewards. Instead, we are much more motivated, and this might sound weird, by threats. And again, no extremes here. I'm not implying that you physically or mentally hurt yourself if you don't do the grammar exercise, but rather than a positive consequence, that reward, there is a negative consequence if you don't do the task at hand. So reward equals positive consequence, threat equals negative consequence. Naturally, as you might imagine, this shouldn't be something that completely gets in the way of your language learning overall. So it's not a case of, if I get less than 5 out of 10 on this exercise, no more Spanish for a whole week. Like, that's not the threat. Instead, we're thinking more about something that would act as motivation to do the thing. For example, you're at that same stage, the grammar exercises are important because you're going for accuracy right now with the level that you're at, and so you want to do something every day, right? So you say to yourself and to your friend, if I don't do a grammar exercise on one day, I pay my friend £1. And by the end of the week, you tally up how much you owe your friend. You don't want to give up £7 each week that you skip those grammar exercises, so you're going to want to do it. Maybe if you think £1, that's not enough. Okay, £5, £10, whatever it is that's going to work as that deterrent to make sure that you do the thing you're not looking forward to. And of course, I'm sure that you love your friend, but do you love them enough to pay them £1 every day that you don't do the grammar exercise? Probably not. So these kind of threats work really well as motivators because often it's a great chance to involve someone else, right? So that gives you extra external accountability, which again, for some people is a really, really great motivator. And perhaps you are watching and thinking, huh, I get it, this sounds really interesting, but I don't know which would work for me. How do you find and maintain your unique language learning motivation? Is it reward? Is it threat? Let's get into that now. First up then, there are two sources of motivation: intrinsic and extrinsic motivation. Intrinsic motivation comes from us enjoying the task itself. If we see something as being worth our time, if it is flexible, functional, and fun, then we are more likely to do it if we are naturally more intrinsically motivated, or if the task itself has enough about it to get us feeling intrinsically motivated. Then there's extrinsic motivation. Now this relies on that external potential reward or threat. So those ideas that we've touched on both fall into this category. Some studies, such as one by Ariani in 2013, suggest that people who are intrinsically motivated are typically more conscientious, extroverted, open to experience, and emotionally stable. But then, while others, like Hart et al. 2007, agree that there is a link between conscientiousness and intrinsic motivation, they found that people who are more extroverted are more likely to benefit from extrinsic motivation. So it's not that clear, fully rounded picture of like, if you are this, this, and this, then you are this type of motivation more naturally. Really, it's about figuring out for yourself, where do you start? One thing I recommend for you, if you haven't done this already, is the Four Tendencies Quiz by Gretchen Rubin. And what I really love about this is that it is the Four Tendencies. This is not something that is fixed, that you can never change. This is something that is a tendency. This is a tendency that you have of a preference towards intrinsic or extrinsic motivation. This is not who you are. Because the stuff that is very like who you are, that really narrows things down and it means that we limit ourselves. But if we know this is what I tend to be, then we're more likely to be open to exploring other ideas as well. So if you find from the Four Tendencies quiz that you tend to rely more on intrinsic motivation, that's no reason why you can't also experiment with extrinsic motivation and try the rewards and the threat and see what works for you. So yes, I would love to know if you decide to give this a go, this idea of reward and threat, the positive and negative consequence, and see if it affects your motivation for the coming week. If you want to talk more about motivation, like I said at the start, we'll be doing so all week if you're watching this on the day of release in the Language Sparks email club. If you're watching this after, still come along and join because we'll be talking about something else equally as exciting and intriguing on the topic of language learning. I would love to have you join us. You can join up here or at the link in the description below, and I will see you very soon. And I think this is also the point of the video where I'm supposed to say subscribe, like, follow, comment, share, all of that stuff, the stuff that you hear all the time. If you've enjoyed this video, do feel free to do any of that stuff as well. It's very, very helpful. All right, have a wonderful rest of your day and I will speak to you very soon. Thank you, bye.